Good evening, everybody. Last weekend was the feast of the Transfiguration of Jesus, and if you were here at Mass with me, I remember talking about the Transfiguration, and I remember in one of my practical implications emphasizing that this altar is our mountain of transfiguration. And that each Sunday is our transfiguration day. I remember saying that the Eucharist is where God and our life comes together. Here, our life mingles with God's life. Here, our timeline merges with God's timeline. Here, we enter into communion, God with us and we with God. And then I said towards the end of this homily that, and then with Jesus, we go down the mountain just like Jesus did with the disciples, to face life for another week. And then we come back and do the same thing over again. Today I want to focus on our life down the mountain. Last week I focused on our life up here on the mountain of Transfiguration. Today I want to focus on our life down the mountain. How do God and life come together when we go back into the world? How do we have up the mountain moments on our down the mountain days? That's the title of my homily. How do we bring faith and life together Monday through Friday? So I'd like to propose three ways in which we can accomplish this. And honestly, it's a very basic homily. It's a very simple homily. I was more preaching this to myself. I'm going to share three ways of bringing faith and life together. First, I want to propose prayer as the intersection of faith and life. Prayer as the intersection of faith and life. Now, today's first reading and the gospel reading are very helpful in answering the question that I just raised. How do I bring faith and life together? Elijah's encounter with God on Mount Horeb happened at a very challenging time in his life. King Ahab and his wife Jezebel had been instrumental in leading Israel away from Yahweh. And when Ezekiel opposed them, Jezebel, Ahab's wife, sought to destroy Ezekiel. It was to flee the wrath of Jezebel that Ezekiel went up the mountain. In fact, he was so dismayed over there that he prayed that God would end his life. There, on the top of the mountain, Elijah encountered God in a small whispering sound. But it's the context that's important. That down the mountain he faces turmoil, and so he goes up the mountain to encounter God. The gospel reading too describes a very busy life in the day of Jesus. If we read what happens before Jesus goes up the mountain to pray, and then what he does after he comes down the mountain, we realize that he was probably exhausted. He had ministered to a huge gathering. People had been listening to his words for days, and now they were hungry. So he worked a miracle, fed 5,000 people, and at the end of the day, felt like being alone with God. And so just like Elijah, Jesus leaves down the mountain and he goes up the mountain, Matthew tells us, to pray. I asked earlier, how do God and life come together when we have come down the mountain? How do we have up the mountain moments on our down the mountain days? And the answer is prayer. Prayer is the intersection between God and life. Prayer is where God and life come together. And so I'm proposing that Monday through Friday, after we have left this mountain of the Transfiguration to go down, that Monday through Friday, we must find ourselves often in prayer, like Elijah, like Jesus. There are two other very practical things I want to suggest to help us with our life of prayer. First, I want to talk about sacred space. You see, the mountain is a very sacred space in the scriptures. It's on the mountain that God revealed the Ten Commandments to Moses, right? It's from the mountain that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. It's on the mountain that Jesus was crucified. So the mountain is a very sacred space. I want to talk a little bit about sacred spaces. I want to propose a very practical way to create up the mountain moments on our down the mountain days. Catholic spirituality places a very special emphasis on sacred spaces. This is because Catholic spirituality is very sacramental. So there are two words, sacraments. We have seven sacraments, but then we have sacramentals, those objects, those things that still become for us objects through which we experience God's graces. We're a people who use tangible realities to be in touch with God. For example, the Bible. It's not a sacrament, but it's a sacramental. It gives us God's word. Or the crucifix, the rosary, statues, or pictures of favorite saints, candles, holy water, and even flowers come to our aid in our daily life. A sacred space works the same way. Now, in one sense, we know that all space is sacred, but there is something special about a sacred space, hear me out, that is our Mount Horeb. Your personal Mount Horeb, like that of Elijah. Or, I'm calling it Jesus's prayer mountain. We need to have our own prayer mountain, a sacred space. So think about your home, for example. Perhaps you, if you don't already have one, perhaps the family can create a sacred space called the prayer mountain. It can be as simple or as elaborate as you want it to be. Either as a family or individually, anybody should be able to access the sacred space to be with God. This can be our Mount Horeb, our prayer mountain. Up in my apartment, I have a little space. There's a little light burning there all the time. It's my Mount Horeb. It's my space. This space can be our up the mountain space for our down the mountain days. This can be the space where we come so that our life and God can intersect. This can be the space where we encounter God in the midst of our busy and constantly evolving lives. And especially if you are a child, if you are a family with younger children, you're going to baptize your baby and you just took the responsibility of bringing up in the practice of the faith. When you have a little prayer mountain at home, what a great way for parents to teach their children how to pray. What a great way to catechize. And if they see you pray, they will learn that. That's the sacred space at home. So if you don't already have a space in your home that you call the sacred space, your home is sacred, it's called domestic church, but yet within that home, to have a space where you know you are going because you want to encounter Christ. And thirdly, I want to talk a little bit about not only the space, but the sacred space, but silence and solitude. Now, besides creating and finding ourselves in a sacred space, silence and solitude is yet another need on our down the mountain days. I find it truly fascinating that between a strong and heavy wind, an earthquake and a fire, Elijah encountered God in a tiny whispering sound. Jesus too, after a very hectic day, went up by himself to pray. And Matthew tells us that when it was evening, he was there alone. I myself have been led into silence and solitude in the spirit of John of the Cross. I know I don't have family, I don't have kids, now I don't even have tutu. Now for me, it is silence. There's rarely ever television or music playing in my room. It's generally silence, and I love that space and silence that I have. Now, of course, there are myriads of ways to pray, right? For some people, it is their commute to work that allows them to pray. For other people, it's a hike or being in nature, working out, doing chores, cleaning, spiritual reading. These are all ways to pray. And all these ways to connect with God are valid and meaningful. However, I believe there is a tremendous value in making time for silence and solitude that allows us to hear the small whispering sound. Listen, there are many ways to pray, but I think there's something special about being alone like Jesus on the mountain. Just be silent and allowing ourselves to hear that whispering sound of God, the depth of our being. Whereas every way and every attempt to pray is precious to God, silence and solitude allows us to enter into the depths of not only God's mystery, but our own being. Silence and solitude allows us to find ourselves alone with God like Jesus did. Silence and solitude allows us to hear the whisper of God. Silence and solitude allow us to have deep, intense, up the mountain moments on our down the mountain days. Folks, the God we encounter on this altar is the same God who encounters us the rest of the week. Remember, Jesus goes with us down the mountain. May our lives mingle with God's both here on the top of this mountain and down the mountain, back in our homes and in our world. People of God said,
amen.